In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Welcome back to your program of Word of Life. We'll continue our commentaries on the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 9. Last time we ended with the verse of 37, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me, receives not me, but him who sent me." So, you know, by saying so, the Lord mentioned that he is equal with the same divine nature as the Father. And he is giving humanity the credit to be in his likeness. So if we consider the poor one, the little ones, respect them and love them, we give this respect and love to the one who created them in his likeness, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now John answered him, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us." You know, because many miracles happened in the last few months before this, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the hands and tongues of the disciples, they continuously named the Lord's name, saying, "With the Lord's name, Jesus Christ, get out of him." So others, you know, imitate this and try to use this power of the name of the Lord, and they actually could cast some demons out. So St. John was asking, do we accept them or we should forbid them? So he said, we forbade him because he does not follow us. So he was not considered as one of the 12 or one of the 70 disciples. Should he practice this miracle? But Jesus said, do not forbid him. For no one who works in a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. The Lord, with his very wide heart, who accepts everybody, who seeks everyone's salvation, who likes that all humanity come to be members in his body. So he said, do not forbid him. No one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. So if for some of the people, when they experience the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, most probably they will believe much in him. Very few of them, you know, can speak bad things about him. Actually, they cannot speak bad things, but you know, if they will not follow him in his way, the devil himself may take them in a deviated way and give them some pride, and they can feel themselves as very powerful in casting out demons, and they may forget the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they may not love the Lord himself, but love the credit out of this miracle. That's the problem. But for those who begin speaking the name of the Lord and trying the power of the belief in his name, most probably they cannot speak bad things about him, and later on they will follow him. He who is not against us is on our side. You know, the Lord is trying to help his disciples not to feel superior over everyone, but to feel very normal and last and least, because he is saying that do not consider them as against us. They are on our side. As far as they are using my name in a good way, so they are on our side. They are not followers, but they may later on follow us. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Moreover, the Lord said that the cup of water given in the name of the Lord with no benefit out of it, just for caring, loving people. So the cup of water given in the name of the Lord from anyone who believes in him or serve him, this is very much accepted and rewarded before the eyes of the Lord. So you know how much great is the reward of those who spend days serving the Lord, or spend their life giving their effort to serve him, or those who travel here and there to preach his word, or those who give their life in martyrdom. If we consider the cup of water, which will take very minimal effort and minimal time, how much credit for those who give much more than this. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed, rather than having two hands and go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So, in one side, the cup of water is greatly rewarded, and on the other side, any single or simple sin which stumbles some of these little ones in faith, little small ones like children, little poor ones who are just starting their relationship with the Lord, you know, is also punished greatly. Look to this. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. You know, this kind of punishment is very harsh, as if the Lord is saying nobody can see him or look at his face anymore. So this kind of vanishing punishment is harsh, but because of the stumble problem with the little ones. So while taking care of giving cups of water or serving the poor little ones, we also should take care more and more not to fall into sins, to stumble these little ones. What do you think how some people stumble these little ones? You know, this happens usually when we do not consider the level of education of these people or the level of poverty. You know, we may enjoy our life in a way that these people may look badly at us. So we should always care how they think, how they see us, how they live their life, and we, by loving them, we care more and more to serve them and take care not to hurt them. And he said, it's better for anyone to stay his life crippled or hurt in a way, but does not lose his eternal life. So the fire of the eternal life shall never be quenched, as written from the Old Testament, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. This means that there is a credit for the servants and an eternal life. This reward is eternal, and also the punishment is eternal. The bad fate for those who hurt others is also eternal. And if your foot causes you to sin, how can my foot cause me to sin? You know, when I go anywhere in bad places or join these people who do not love the Lord or his word, so this add if my foot takes me to bed to sin. Cut it off. And by cutting off, we do not mean to take a knife and cut the food, because we still can go there by any means. But it means that we have to cut this relationship, or to cut going to these places, to cut the sin itself, to cut the desire of getting this sin. So this kind of cutting off means we have to have a will against evil and the will to follow the word of God. It's better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Again, the Lord is saying the same verse from the Old Testament, that the fire will never be quenched. So this is an alarm to everyone that we should fear this judgment, and we should care very much for our eyes, our ears, our hands, our feet, our heart, to avoid sinning against the Lord, and to care more for the positive life, to serve others, to love others, to give the cup of water. If your eye, again another example on the same idea, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For the third time, he is repeating the same idea, so everyone should take care of this. Now he is speaking about the eye, so we need not to take this eye out of our head, but you know, we need to take care not to see bad things, because when we see any dark things or bad things, it will come to our mind frequently and it will hurt our heart, our purity from inside. It will hurt our prayer. It will affect the whole body. It will take us away from light to darkness. So he said sharply, it's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye. Does this mean that for those who lose one of their organs, they will go to heaven losing this organ? Actually, you know, this is to simplify the truth. But in heaven, we do not have the same organs, physical ones, as these ones. Because the enlightened body we would have after this life is, you know, is eternal. And we will live in a different way. We cannot imagine how it looks like, this lightened body we will get, but we believe that it lacks nothing. We can enjoy the relationship with the Lord and with the saints and angels in heaven, and with full eye power, with full hearing power, but we cannot imagine exactly how it looks like. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. What does he mean by everyone will be seasoned with fire? This means that everyone will be examined with fire. We need to go through the fire at a time. And going through the fire means it's an examination of your level of love, faith, hope, all virtues. Do you really believe in God? So you accept to go through fire sometime to avoid sinful acts, whatever it costs you. This kind of fire means that there is some conflict in the spiritual life, that we should overcome the desire, the bad desires, and hold on with the faith and love to the Lord. Every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. The sacrifice in the New Testament is not the sacrifice of the old one. It's not the animal sacrifice anymore. It's the sacrifice of praying, of fasting, of serving. So whatever efforts you are giving in your relationship with the Lord, considered as sacrifice. This sacrifice should be seasoned with salt. The salt meaning here, the struggle, the pain, the suffering, the word of God itself considered as salt. Are you following the word of God while praying, while fasting, while serving? So again, everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good. So living in spiritual struggle is good. Following the commandment of the Lord is good. The word of life is good. But if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? This means that if the prayer lost its taste, its struggle, its honesty, how will you season it? The salt itself lost its flavor. Praying without love as losing the flavor of the salt. Serving without love as losing the flavor of the salt. Helping people just to show yourself off and people point at you as good servant, as if the salt loses its flavor. Have salt in yourselves. Have salt in yourself. Be honest with yourself. Check yourself on the word of God. Push yourself hardly in the way of God. Live the spiritual struggle in your prayer. So having salt in yourself, don't live the easy life and don't sleep and think that everything will go fine by itself. Have peace with one another. So it's related to have this peace with another. It's the kind of love we should have in our relationships with anybody around, and this salty spiritual life means love is the salt in our relationship. Putting salt in our prayer, that we enjoy the prayer because we enjoy time with the beloved God. And putting salt in our service means that we are putting love in our relationships with those who we are serving or people around. In chapter 10, the Lord said, "Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan. A multitude gathered to him again. And as he was accustomed, he taught them again." So the Lord is going from here to there and visiting many villages and going to everyone to show us that the light of his presence should cover all areas, and we are obliged to deliver the message to everyone. The Pharisees came and asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Testing him. So you know, the Pharisees are the ones who are law keepers, and they know exactly what the law said in this. But because our Lord Jesus Christ speaks differently in some areas of teaching, and he focuses on the purification of man from inside, and he is giving us higher moral standard. So they were testing him, saying, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Because our Lord is Lord of love, he will never accept the idea of divorce. But this idea of divorce is a bit accepted in the Old Testament. And he answered and said to them, "What did Moses command you?" Because the Lord knew quite well that they were testing him. So he asked them back, "What Moses commanded you?" as if he is telling them, I know quite well that you are testing me. So let's go back to what Moses said. They said Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. So Moses gave the right for a man to divorce his wife, but with a certificate, with some conditions. And Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. So the Lord here stated that because of the hardness of the hearts of people, Moses gave them this idea that they may accept the divorce with a certificate, certified divorce, to limit their hardness. Because they were very harsh with their wives, they might kill them, they were looking for many marriages, so they were not following the will of God. So because of their hardness, the hardness of their heart, they were permitted the certificate of divorce. But this is not the will of God. As if Moses gave some permission in the Old Testament because of the level of hardness of the hearts of the Old Testament, of the people of the Old Testament. But this is not anymore allowed in our new life. Again, the Lord said, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. So in his answer, the Lord said Moses permitted a certified divorce, and going back to the original, God created man as male and female, one man and one woman, one wife to one husband, with the will of God. And we should stick to the will of God. From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. He is thus telling the verses written in the book of Genesis in the very beginning of creating Adam and Eve. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. You know, shall leave his father and mother mean that the relationship between man and his wife is stronger than his relationship with his mother and father. If we do not allow anyone to destroy the relationship with himself and his mother and father, how can we allow anyone to destroy his relationship with his wife? Although the relation with the wife is stronger and more important than his relationship with the father and mother, shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So the will of God is to consider a husband and wife is one, members of each other, real united relationship. So no one can destroy this kind of relationship. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God had joined together, let not man separate. Because this is the will of God. If anyone works on separation, he is working against the will of God. So we should take care of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is simplifying the truth and going back to the early beginning. This is the will of God, that husband and wife shall go their life together in one unity, and they help each other to enjoy the relationship with the Lord, to end in the kingdom of heaven. In the house, his disciples also asked him again about the same matter. So because this answer was a bit strange for them, as Jude, they were always speaking about divorce and the permission of divorce, the certificate of divorce. So this answer which was strong in against divorce, it was a bit strange for them. So his disciples asked him again about the same matter. So he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. So the Lord was very sharp in this. For those who permit divorce for themselves against the will of God, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. So this clear commandment from the Lord we should follow in the church, whatever people accept or do not accept. If a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. By saying so, he does not say that these people will surely go to hell, because any sin can be covered by repentance and believing in the Lord's redemption. But you know, we should never go to sinful act by our will. We should stick to the teaching of the Lord and avoid this sinful life. Then they brought little children to him. After speaking about marriage and the holy life in marriage and the original will of God in the family, time came for the children. They brought him little children that he might touch them. The poor farmers and people living in these villages love to have the blessing of his hands over the heads of their children. But you know, the disciples, as cultured, they do not respect much the children. They brought children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. So the disciples, you know, rebuked the fathers and mothers bringing their children to the Lord, but the Lord was greatly displeased, because he was telling us before that we should care very much for the little ones, and we should avoid stumbling them in any bad way. So when they just ignore the request of these fathers and mothers to bless their children, he was displeased and said to them, let the children, little children, come to me. That's why in our Orthodox tradition, we consider children as faithful guys. We give them the gift of baptism, the gift of Myron, the gift of communion, although they do not understand many things, because we believe in the Word of God, they are His children, and He said, do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is made for these children, and we are supposed to live their life. We are supposed to follow the purity of their hearts. We are supposed to look up to the children to see how good and loving heart they have. By this, we can regain our childhood purity and catch the kingdom of God. He was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Also, by saying so, the Sunday school activities and the classes for the little children are very much accepted, and you know, they are the ways that we plead the Lord by the singing of these children, and when they brought up in the church, we are pleasing the Lord. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. How can one receive the kingdom of God with the heart of a child? You know, this means that you need not to think much, to be very much intellectual. You need not to know many informations, but you need to love. Because the heart of a child is full of love. The brain of a child is rather empty. So, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. So we need this heart of a child. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them and blessed them. He took them up in his arms. So that was written about the Good Shepherd in Isaiah and also in the Gospel of St. John, that he cares for his sheep. So he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. By no means enter the kingdom of God. If we don't have the heart of a child, this will put an important question: how can one get the heart of a child? We need to work hard to purify our heart, to think in a pure way, to love everyone, to live a simple life, to stop our mind from thinking in a worldly way. We need to pray, please, Lord, help us to live as a child, as a pure child, and to accept your kingdom as a gift from you to enter it. And he took them up in his arms. So by taking them up in his arms, simplify the truth that if you live your life as a child, you are always carried by the hands of the Lord. The problem that we do not live our life as children. We think that we are elderly enough to live our life in our own way. We need to surrender. We need to think of his arms carrying us all the time. We need to put all the burdens on him and to carry just his word and prayer to live a good, simple life. He laid his hand on them and blessed them. By doing this, the Lord taught us how to respect children, how to look up to the children as our spiritual teacher in many ways. Glory to God. Amen.